Well, it is a joy to be here and to have the opportunity to bring you up to date with the work of God in Uganda. And I trust the Lord will bless us, even in the time that we have together. I usually speak first and then show the video afterwards, so I'll just stick to that order and do what I usually do. I've been in Uganda, of course, for 5 years or so. I moved across in 2017. And like everywhere else, much of that time has been affected by COVID. But the Lord has been good. We do give him thanks for keeping us safe during that time. And also then for bringing everybody back again to the school and to the church. And for allowing the work to resume fully this year, 2022. So we do give the Lord thanks for that. And for all that he has been doing at Emmanuel. Also want to thank the board, our mission board. If you've never sat on the board, you couldn't possibly imagine how much work those men have to do. And sometimes I do feel sorry for them, the many discussions and decisions that have to be made. And just pray that God would give them wisdom. We do appreciate their wisdom and their oversight and their help. There is a subcommittee that deals especially with the affairs related to Uganda, and the man in charge of that is the Reverend David McMillan. He's the chairman, and pray for him. He's been out to visit us several times. You'll see him on the video, and he takes a very keen interest in the work. And then, of course, we also thank the members of the Missionary Council who do so much to raise awareness at home and to raise support for the various projects and the various needs there on the field. So I do want to acknowledge the contribution of all those people, but of course tonight I especially want to thank you. And Mr. Valentine has already mentioned that you pray for me here, and that many of you pray for me even in your own personal times, and that is a great encouragement to me as a missionary. There are certainly days when you come in the evening time and you think, for sure somebody must have been praying today, or we wouldn't have made it to the end of the day. Maybe so many things have happened through the day, you just wondered how you survived until the evening time. But the Lord is there, and the Lord has given help. And we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your giving. We thank you for all your support, both of me personally and also of the school, and maybe even sponsoring children in the school. We do appreciate all of that. Of course, I haven't been there alone. When I went across in 2017, Stephen and Ruth Miller were there at that time, and we had good times with them. And then along came Mr. Andrew Foster, and later he brought a wife, and then he brought a lovely little girl as well, and we had good times with the Fosters. And you probably know the Fosters did inform the board earlier this year that they felt it was the Lord's will for them to return home to Northern Ireland at this time. So that means that I'm the only missionary left full-time at the moment. But we are praying that God will send others and that God will meet that great need. The board has been very good in sending people over to help me. Obviously, during COVID, that was more difficult. But certainly since the start of the year, I've had a steady supply of people to help me and to look after, especially the work in the church, to fill the pulpit, and to preach at the many meetings that go on in the course of a week. And I appreciate all those people who have come to visit. At the minute, Mr. David McCauley, who's a student at the Whitfield College, and his wife Rachel are there in Uganda. They'll be there for 4 to 5 weeks looking after the work, mostly the church. Many of the classes are off. This is our August break, and they'll come back on the 5th of September. But the church work is continuing, and they're also doing some holiday Bible clubs in the community. So pray very much for them during this time. They're there with two small children, Eloise and Arthur, and just pray that God's hand would be upon them for good and that he would use them at this time. There have been many practical improvements on the site in those 5 years. I can't take credit for them. I'm not a handy man or a handy woman, but there have been those who've come over to visit, and certainly that has been their talent. And of course Andrew was there as well for some good time and put in a tremendous amount of work to make the facilities more comfortable and more suitable for the work on the ground. So from getting clean water, all right, through the borehole and our own filtering system, the play park, renovations to the kitchen for the school, a whole toilet block, a place to burn your rubbish, and that's a very hot point at the minute, where the rubbish is going, even here at home. Water harvesting, huge water tanks, collecting the rainwater to help us during the dry season. Work on our apartments, renovating a shipping container to give us office space. Those are all things that have been done to improve the facilities there on the site. And those are all very practical things, but they're very necessary things for the running of the school and for the comfort of the people who live there and work there, and even to meet certain requirements that the Ministry of Education would put upon us for registration. The most recent improvement, of course, was finally getting connected to mains electricity. And that sounds such a simple thing. I always think when you say it in a meeting, it sounds like somebody pushed in a wire and flicked a switch and that was it. Everything was good. And I'm sure the men who came wish it was as simple as that, but they had to strip out everything that was there before, and they had to rewire the entire compound, lights, switches, sockets, the whole lot. And then they designed and had a purpose-built control panel made and shipped over, and it was connected up so that we can use the mains. We can also use the solar if the mains fails, and in future we can even plug in a backup generator if we need to. So that was a major project. It started just before COVID, and because nobody could travel during COVID, it only got completed in March of this year. But we praise God that we have power on site, and it is a great blessing and a great help to us. Even something as simple as being able to run a photocopier is such a great blessing and such a great help. An electric kettle, just all those very basic minor things are a great help there on the mission station. We've also seen an increase in children there at the school. We have quite a large compound, so at the top of that compound you have the church and also the missionary accommodation across on the other side, and then the other three sides of the compound, if you like, are the school buildings, the classes for primary and secondary and nursery, and the boarding facilities as well. So we've seen an increase in all those sections, in nursery and in primary and even into secondary. I suppose numbers have almost doubled, and we have 448 children at the moment. The more children you have, the more staff you need. So we also have increased the number of staff. We have 24 teachers and 7 support staff, people helping us on the gate, in the kitchen, and so on. And we thank God for every person that he has given to us at Emmanuel. Most of those children are from Muslim and Roman Catholic homes. Some are from maybe African traditional homes where people still worship in shrines and things like that. A few are from born-again homes, as they would talk about. But the majority certainly are from Muslim and Roman Catholic families. And it is just such a privilege to have them at the school and to have the freedom to teach them God's word every day. We would ask you to pray that God would really bless and move amongst them, and pray for the staff, that God would give them the grace and the help and the wisdom that they need to do the work that God has called them there to do. I was home for 10 weeks to do meetings, then I went back for 10 weeks, and then I came again for a second round of meetings, another 10 weeks, which is almost about halfway through, all right? So that's where we're at. So they have about another 5 or 6 weeks before I go back. School will resume, as I mentioned, in September, and that's always a very busy time. It's not the beginning of a school year, it's just the beginning of a school term. For us, our year runs from January through to December, so it's the beginning of a new term. I pray that God will undertake for all the children and the parents and the staff at the school. Academically, we do follow the Ugandan curriculum, so that we prepare the children for the Ugandan examinations. There are national exams for P7, all right, and again for Senior 4. So at the school, we've nursery, 3 years of nursery, baby, middle and top. When you get to top class, you do a little exam to get into P1, and then P1 to P7. And by the time you finish P7, you're about 14, and you're ready to do the primary leaving exam, which is a national exam that's set all across the schools in Uganda. And then you have to pass that exam, PLE, to get into high school. And then when you go into high school, you've Senior 1 up to Senior 4. By that time, you're 18, and you'll be ready to do your O-levels. And that's really as far as we go at Emmanuel. So every year we have students sitting those exams, and we would just ask you to pray for them. We've asked people to pray in the past, and God has been so faithful in helping our children and our young people to do well in their exams, and they have all passed very well, and we praise God for that. When they finish with us, I suppose there are various options. They may go home, they may go out into employment, they may decide to go on for A-levels. That is a possibility, though you have to transfer out to another senior secondary school in Masaka, or they can choose to go for vocational courses, and some of them do that because they see maybe that it's more hopeful of securing employment at the end of it. So we, at the moment, we've some doing A-levels at Kako, a boy called Samuel and a girl called Dorcas. We have some doing nursing down in Yantonde, John and Innes and Sharif. We have some doing fashion and design. All right, that's the posh name. The ordinary name would be dressmaking. All right, so that's what they're doing. And we have some doing mechanics. All right, some of the boys thought they would like to be mechanics. And when you see the vehicles, the cars, the motorbikes, certainly there would be plenty of need for mechanics in Uganda. So those young people are supported by the mission board in the courses that they're doing. They can't obviously support everybody, but each year they do undertake to support a number and to help them through to the end of those courses. And then that gives us opportunity to follow up those young people and to have regular contact with them and to see how they're getting on, not just academically, but even spiritually. And we do value that opportunity. We do seek to help as well some of the neediest families at the school. We are in a very needy community, but the government has a program. They talk about orphaned and vulnerable children. And there's a whole ministry that deals with gender and those types of issues. And we have to report to them. We're registered as an NGO, so we report to them once a quarter as to what we are doing for the orphaned and the vulnerable children around us or even in the school. We did manage to assess all of the families at the school. That was a major undertaking, especially when we started. And Mrs. Hannah Foster was a great help in doing that. She worked along with the social worker who went out to visit all the homes and to get us a very clear report of what was on the ground in each and every family at the school. And then from that, we identify the neediest cases and we seek to give them some support to run an agricultural project. Most people can find land that they can use. They might have a little bit of land that they're living on, or maybe they can get a piece from their neighbour that they can use. And most of them can provide the labour to work that land, but what they lack is the inputs, the things that you have to buy. So they don't have the manure, they don't have the seed, they don't have the fertiliser, they don't have the pesticide, and even something as simple as a watering can, a spray pump, all those things. So they're given those things, and the idea then is that they go and do the work, and that whenever they harvest, they can use what they harvest to help feed the family. They are to reserve some of it for the next planting season, and then if there's a surplus, they can also sell to get some little cash to help the family with other needs. So we've been doing that for 3 years. This is the third year, so that's 30 families that have been helped through that scheme. And again, it's a way of getting out into the community. It's a way of having contact with the people, and maybe more contact than we would generally have, and getting to know them better and having opportunities to share the word of God with them. So pray that God would bless that program as well. Spiritually, of course, we are looking to the Lord to save souls. We're missionaries. We're there to present the gospel by all means to those that we meet, and we're looking to the Lord to save souls. And we thank the Lord that he has saved souls. He has saved children and young people in the school. He has saved folks in the church. He has saved people through the outreach, and we do praise his name for that. Sometimes maybe you can be cynical, you wonder how genuine are the conversions or whatever, but it's good to see those who go on, and those who show an interest in the word of God, those who show an interest in the place of prayer, those who even have an interest in reaching out to others and in spreading the gospel. And certainly the Lord has shown us that, and we praise him for that. And just continue to pray that even others would be won to the Saviour. Obviously, in the community that we're living in, when children or young people or even older people do profess faith in Christ, there is really no support at home for them. All right, most families wouldn't even have a Bible. All right, most households wouldn't have a Bible in the home. A Bible in Uganda, a Luganda Bible, costs about £9. And for some people, that would be a week's wages. All right, so if you're struggling to survive and to feed your family, probably you're not thinking of spending that amount of money on a copy of the Word of God. But we do seek to give out God's Word. We did receive English Bibles from TBS. We're grateful for that. We also do from time to time get gifts that we put towards Luganda Bibles. And as we are able, we seek to give out copies of God's Word in Luganda as well. And just pray that God would help us. Those who come to know the Lord, they need a lot of teaching, a lot of guidance, a lot of discipling, a lot of instruction. And just pray that God would give help to those who have that responsibility in the work. And pray for all the assemblies of the school. We have assembly every morning and every evening. We also have Bible studies for the staff, Bible studies for the young people. And pray that God would bless in each of those times, and that he would guide us to what we should say and what we should tell them from God's word. Going forward, we do need to give attention to the secondary school. We have put a lot of emphasis on getting the primary school registered, and we thank God that we have managed, we have succeeded. We need to go through the same process again to get the secondary school registered. That's just how the Ugandan system is, and pray that God will give grace and God that will give help and even show us the best way to develop the things that we need to add and all of that. I'll say a word about the church, because as I've said, there's no man there at the moment, but despite that, the work of God in the church has continued, and we are very thankful for that. We have meetings on the Lord's Day. We have a prayer meeting in the morning, a morning worship service at 11, and then we have a Sunday school in the afternoon that is open to all the boarders at the school, to all the church children, and to any other children from around who want to come. So we usually have a very good turnout at the Sunday school. And then in the evening time, we have a fellowship meeting. It's mostly young people who come, but it's open again to everybody. But the young people gather in on the Lord's Day evening into God's house for a time of fellowship, singing, sometimes Bible study, or other activities that are planned. Recently, we also started a prison ministry. When I went back from the first round of 10 meetings, the Reverend Jonathan Crane and his wife Jean travelled back with me. And the Reverend Crane said, "Do you think there'd be any possibility of getting into the local prison?" So it was something we discussed before, but we never really actually acted on it. So I thought, right, this time we'll make an approach and see what can be done. So I sent one of the men in the church, Master Ronald, to go and asked the warden, he lives quite close to the prison, to go and ask the warden if there was any possibility of doing a meeting there. And they were very keen that we should come. Master Ronald came back and said, yes, they're very happy, they'd like us to come today. So I thought, right, okay, today, we weren't maybe just ready for today, but if it's today, today it is. So off we went, and we did the first meeting that very day, and we had a tremendous time. That was the prison in Bukalula, which is about three miles from where we are. There would be about 30 inmates in Bukalula, and we've had good times with them. It's become a weekly event, if you like, going there to visit the prisoners and to bring the word to them. Moving on from that, then, we were also asked to consider if we would go to another prison in Lucaya, which is about 3 miles in the other direction, and they have about 60 inmates. And we've been able to do that as well, and that ministry is also ongoing. So pray for those men. So far, all I've seen are men. Somebody was asking me, are there no women in prison? I'm sure there must be, but they must be housed somewhere else, because certainly the ones we have been to, it's all men that we see. But pray for those men, that God would move in their hearts, and that even despite their circumstances, that they would be brought to see Christ and their need of Christ, and to confess him as Lord and as Saviour. We also have the prayer meeting and Bible study, of course, every week, and then we go out into the open air on a Friday evening. After lockdown, we had a couple of goes in some of the local villages practically every week since that time without a break. There are about 10 villages that would have an open air meeting. Not much in most of the houses. They just go inside to sleep. They're doing to prepare food. They do it outside. They cook their babies outside. They repair or mend or whatever has to be done. People just do it outside on the road in front of their houses, or sometimes on the veranda. Many of the houses have veranda because of the tropical climate and the heavy downpours that we get. So when you go to a village, people are all outside carrying on with their own business, and you can just arrive and start your meeting, and they're all there. They continue with whatever they're doing and hopefully listen to you at the same time. We also give out literature. I've talked about Bibles already. We do have other literature that we give out. Some of it we've got through Every Home Crusade here at home. So we have got John's Gospel in Luganda. We have got Dr. Cairns's booklet, A New Beginning, also translated in Luganda. We have some other tracts that the Mission Board has prepared and worked on, and we got them translated into Luganda as well. And then we also have some tracts in English that we're able to give out to the people. And people receive them very readily. I've said most people don't have a Bible. Most people don't have a single book in their home. If there's a book, it's probably an exercise book that the child brought from school, and that is probably it. So if anything printed or any booklet at all, people are really eager and keen to have it. They want to know if you have any more or if you have anything different. They're always looking for something more, especially those who can read. And it is another means of getting the gospel out to people. And just pray that God would help us, even that he would give us ideas as to other things that we could prepare to give out to them. We have had holiday Bible clubs. I've mentioned that the Macaulays are doing a couple. They're doing one this week, and God willing, another one next week. They've also been well attended by people in the community, by children. We've got new children in through those. We've had children come to the Lord through those, and we do praise and thank God for that. And we just look to the Lord to continue to build up his church. Somebody said it sounds very busy, and I suppose it is quite busy, and yet, you know, it's only a drop in the ocean. If you could just see Uganda and the size of the country, and really, Emmanuel, we're just a little dot, just in that huge land, a little dot in that district of Kalungu. And there is so much more that we could do if we had more workers and if we had more labourers. And so I am encouraging people to pray that the Lord would raise up others to go forth and to take the gospel into Uganda, that God would call people from here, and also that God would call people there, call Ugandans to take up the responsibility of taking the gospel to their own people. We have two young men who are doing a Bible course with our own Bible Training Institute that was set up to help people in foreign lands who maybe couldn't come to the Whitfield College. So we have two men who are doing that, Elijah and Thomas, and both of them have expressed a desire to do God's work. But they feel that they still need help and mentoring, and that they don't have much experience. But certainly they're coming towards the end of that two-year course, and they have a desire to do the work of God, which is great to see. And they're very helpful, even with all the activities that are going on there at the church. I'll just mention a couple of verses from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I'll just read them to you. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This was Paul's appeal to the Romans that he was writing to, or to the brethren, as he calls them. In chapter 1, he said they were those who were beloved of God and called to be saints in Rome. And therefore, I believe it applies to us. I believe that we are those who are beloved of God and called to be saints. And Paul challenged them to do two things: to present themselves as a living sacrifice, and to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know, that is the challenge that I would set before us tonight, before myself as well as before you. Oh, that God would help us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, to be used in his work in whatever way he sees fit. Whether it is at home or whether it is abroad, that God would give us that heart that is ready to be consecrated and handed over to him for his will. Paul said that is just our reasonable service. I always think of that. And you know, reasonable, if you reasoned or if you thought about it, you would say it's the only logical thing that could be done. And you know, is that not so? When we think of the mercies of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God towards us in saving us, is it not only reasonable that we offer ourselves to him to do his will and to do his work and to do his bidding? And Paul said that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And you know, that is true. Sometimes I think, especially maybe young people, they fear that God's will be, I don't know, hard or difficult or terrible or horrible or the worst thing that ever they could be asked to do. And yet, no, God's will is good and acceptable and perfect for all of us. And if only we were ready to prove that and to surrender ourselves to his will, we would prove that that is so. Paul said we're not to be conformed to this world. I don't think there's ever been more pressure to be conformed to the world than there is today, especially on young people. There's tremendous pressure to be conformed to this world. But God says we're not to be conformed. We're not to run after the world and all the things that the world is running after. We're not to count those things to be important, but we are to be transformed. We're to be different by the renewing of our minds. And we are to be those who present our bodies to the Lord and who prove that his will is good and acceptable and perfect. And I trust tonight that God will help all of us to do that, whether at home or abroad. And if there is somebody here and you're seeking to know God's will, I would encourage you to follow God's will. because I can honestly say it is good and it is acceptable and it is perfect. We'll come to the video, and I trust it is a blessing to you, and thank you for listening. You've been very patient. May God bless you.